heightened significance today. Will your government ensure American women who want to can come to Canada for an abortion?
That's a really good question. I mean, I don't see why we would not. I mean, if people come here and need access.
In the days after the U.S. Supreme Court leak, Canada's Minister of Families, Carina Gould, promised care to Americans seeking abortions and other reproductive health services across the northern border. You're listening to World Affairs. I'm Ray Suarez. Let's say it right up front. Canada is not the U.S. Canadians are not simply slightly different Americans. There's a different history, a different culture, a very different political system. And yet, there are times when the politics of the two North American neighbors mirror each other, move in rhythm. We wondered, is there a similar national argument about abortion underway in Canada? Kelly Gordon is an assistant professor at McGill University in Montreal, who studies the politics of abortion. Welcome to World Affairs.
Thanks for having me.
Well, where do abortion rights stand in Canada today? Is it legal to get an abortion?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So it is decriminalized, abortion is, but we have this really unique context where there actually is no abortion law on the books. And so we have this kind of long history that has led us to this moment. But since our previous abortion laws were struck down as unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in the late 1980s, no sitting government has actually successfully passed an abortion law. So we exist in this really unique context where it is not actually legislated.
Decriminalized, meaning what? A pregnant woman won't be punished for trying to get an abortion. Fair enough also to conclude that a doctor won't get in trouble for performing one?
Yeah, that's right. So the way that abortion is really regulated here is by the medical community. So it's more sort of akin to in vitro or heart surgery or knee surgery, where it's really something that's determined by the medical community. Its parameters are determined by the medical community. Not to say that it's not politicized in Canada. It certainly is in different ways than it is in the U.S., but it is treated more as a medical procedure than kind of this active, contentious political issue.
But one very key difference between the two countries is that you have universal health care provided through mechanisms overseen by the government. If you present yourself for an abortion, will that single-payer system pay for it?
Yes. So in about 90% of cases, that is true. In Canada, healthcare is a provincial jurisdiction. And so there is a history in the maritime provinces in the eastern part of the country of abortion being defunded. That's changed over the last 5 years or so. There are also some issues if you, for example, if you're a student living in a province, but your healthcare is from another province, abortion exists on this weird list where there's no interprovincial agreements. But for the vast majority of abortion care, it is funded by the government.
You're speaking to us from Quebec, which is in so many ways the asterisk of Canadian life. The province was heavily influenced by Catholicism and the pronouncements of the Catholic hierarchy for much of its history. In 2022, is Quebec different in any ways, large or small, from the rest of Canada when it comes to abortion?
Yes. So Quebec is different than the rest of Canada, but maybe not in the way that you would expect. Actually, Quebecers are much more supportive of abortion care than the rest of Canadians. You absolutely cannot be a politician in this province and hold any kinds of anti-abortion views. And 50% of all abortion clinics in the country are actually situated in Quebec. So accessibility is much higher in Quebec than other provinces. Quebec does have this really different history of the Quiet Revolution in the 1960s, where there's an active rejection of the Catholic Church. And abortion becomes sort of this symbolic issue within that active rejection. And Quebecers kind of embrace it as an important issue that distinguishes themselves from their past and also the rest of English Canada.
Is federalism in Canada something that allows some of the pressure, some of the heat to be taken out of this debate, because a premier of a province is almost like a head of state. He or she really runs the show in a way that a U.S. governor, I don't think, really would.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And I think in a lot of ways and a lot of other issues, that's true. But in Canada, criminal law is a federal jurisdiction. So it's actually been a debate that's happened at the federal level and not at the level of provinces. There's been little mini debates that happen within provinces, but it really is something that's happened at the federal level. And so in this one issue, it's not the case.
You have, as we do in this country, parties that are left of center, right of center, perceive themselves and talk to the voters from that posture. Has there been a shift on the right to either revive or reinvigorate the abortion debate in ways that we would recognize here in the United States, where moderate governors see some electoral advantage in firing up abortion again as a social issue?
So I would say this is maybe one of the biggest differences between the U.S. and Canada, and especially when we're speaking about conservative politicians, but politicians more generally. Politicians in Canada have never wanted to touch the abortion issue. It's been a hot potato issue, and this is maybe even especially true for conservative politicians. So we have a conservative leadership race happening right now where the party will decide a new leader. So this question is coming up. There's only one person that's running that has explicitly anti-abortion views. They're nothing like anti-abortion views that you see from politicians in the States. They're much more muted. But everyone else has come out either as pro-choice or has been really kind of ambiguous on the issue and skirt around it. Conservative politicians exist in this complicated space where some of their base might hold anti-abortion views, but more than 80% of Canadians support abortion care. So at the level of the general electorate, it's just not a winning issue. I think that makes it really, really different than Republicans that can use this issue to sort of identify and unite the Republican Party.
What's the regional breakdown? Is this a question in Canadian life that has a very different life depending on where you are in the country today?
So, yes and no, I think. So when we talk about abortion in Canada, we often are talking about abortion access because the debate doesn't exist on a legal or political terrain in the same way. Some of the remaining issues around abortion care, that abortion care is more accessible in some parts of the country than others. And so the big kind of caveat in terms of abortion politics is really the maritime provinces. So there's a small island off of the East Coast called Prince Edward Island. And until about 5 years ago, there was no abortion care offered on the island. That's actually changed since Justin Trudeau took office. It's not necessarily because of Justin Trudeau, but kind of a complicated history. And then in another kind of neighboring province, New Brunswick, abortion was defunded following the Morgenthaler decision. But again, a few years ago, it was refunded, hospital-based abortion care at least, but not clinic-based. So it's kind of an active site of abortion politics in a way that's different than the rest of the country. We see similar cleavages throughout the rest of the country. So you'll probably see higher support for abortion care in urban areas than rural, but generally Canadians support abortion.
It is often noted, sometimes with a bit of paternalism, but I'm going to leech all of that out of there, that the overwhelming majority of Canadians live within 100 miles of a U.S. state. When it's a ruckus here, does that change anything about the conversation inside Canada, as it has seemingly with COVID politics?
Yes. One of maybe the embarrassing parts of being Canadian is that we are obsessed with American politics. And I think there's this tendency actually to import what's happening in the U.S. to Canadian politics in some moments in, you know, ways that aren't totally reflexive. So, you know, the Trump presidency, for example, you know, it was 4 years of like, could Trump happen here? Is Trump happening here? So absolutely, the debates that are happening in the U.S. influence the conversations that we're having here in Canada. And when it comes to abortion politics, and this is what I've been telling sort of media and journalists in my own country over the last couple of weeks, Canadians should be careful about importing what's happening in the U.S. to the Canadian context, because like you said in the opening of the show, we have a very sort of distinct history and politics around abortion.
It would seem less wrapped up with the politics of religion than it is here. Is that fair?
Yeah, so that's a complicated question, I think. So I think one thing that makes the abortion issue less politicized here is that in the 1980s in the U.S., we see sort of a takeover of the Republican Party by the religious right. Nothing like that really happens in Canada. We have a religious right. It's not very influential. It doesn't make much headway into partisan politics. In fact, throughout the 1980s, we almost see kind of a liberal consensus emerge. We pass the Charter of Rights and Freedom, which changes our constitution in ways, you know, by the Liberal Party in ways that are liberal. And so we don't see that kind of same takeover of the religious right of conservative politics here. I think that makes our party politics very different. When it comes to abortion politics, what I would say is, you know, religious institutions, religious organizations are key funders and organizers of the anti-abortion movement in Canada, but they're very careful about using religious arguments when they're speaking to the general public. So they sort of sanitize much of their public discourse from religion because many, if not most, Canadians find that kind of religious discourse alienating.
So who is the anti-abortion movement in Canada in this third decade of the 21st century? Who are they? Where are they? What argument do they make to the rest of the country? How do they influence the way the social conversation goes on?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think when we're talking about the anti-abortion movement, whether it's in the U.S. or in Canada, we need to recognize that it's a multifaceted movement. And this is true of all social movements, but there are different kind of areas, different politics of the anti-abortion movement in Canada. I think most anti-abortion activists come to their activism through their involvement with religion. So I think that religion still is kind of a motivating factor. My research on the movement has found that while that's a motivating factor, because this movement has been losing for the last 30 years in Canada, and so they're sort of rebranding the way that they look, the way that they talk, and they're kind of trying to distance themselves from what brings them into the movement. I think that this is one area where Canadians tend to look at the American anti-abortion movement and they're like, oh, that must be the same here. Like, maybe it's not as powerful, maybe it's not as big, but it probably looks and sounds the same. But what my research has shown is that it actually is starting to look and sound very different because it's a movement that's very conscious of the fact that it has been losing and that it sort of needs to change its strategies of persuasion.
Only for the second time in American history, this country has a head of government, who is also our head of state, who's a Catholic. This is not as strange an event in Canada. Does Justin Trudeau ever have to talk about this? Does it ever intrude on his broader messaging and the outreach he makes to the rest of the country on a variety of issues?
Does he ever have to talk about being Catholic? No. Justin Trudeau.
But that's a difference. It's a difference between the two countries.
Yeah. And Justin Trudeau's interesting because the Liberal Party has always been very popular among Catholics. And he's actually the first leader of the Liberal Party to be so explicitly pro-choice. I mean, so what's interesting about Trudeau is his dad, Pierre Trudeau, was the one who first decriminalized abortion in the late 1960s. But he didn't do it on the grounds that he was a feminist prime minister, that he was pro-choice. He actually did it in response to the Canadian Bar Association and the Canadian Medical Association pushing for the decriminalization of abortion and sort of doctors saying, look, you need to end our, you know, lives as lawbreakers by offering abortion care. So it was a really different debate that was happening in the 60s. And since Pierre Trudeau, you know, the line of liberal leaders has really been, this is an issue of conscience. So they don't whip votes around abortion care. They always had anti-abortion MPs in their parties and in their governments. But this changed with Trudeau, and this was a marked difference. And I would say Trudeau, he's a complicated feminist, but he did this maybe because he has inner beliefs about the importance of abortion care, and I think that he might, but also because he recognized very clearly that this was a winning position in Canada. And so in 2013, he came out and he said, not only am I pro-choice, but everybody in my party has to be pro-choice too, and we will be whipping votes around abortion. And so it shows the extent to which he doesn't have to talk about being a Catholic or not, that he was able to do this, and it never became about his religion at all.
Well, we are on the verge of something big, one way or the other, here in the United States, when the final opinion, not just the leaked draft opinion, becomes public. There is going to be a nationwide shouting match about this issue going forward. Does that have the possibility, the power, to reinvigorate a national conversation in Canada? Is the blast that's going to be coming from the South, does it carry with it the possibility of getting Canadians talking about it?
What's so interesting about the Canadian context is we often have a debate about whether we should have a debate at all. And I think this is, like I was saying, there's really high support for abortion care. So I think this is from a lot of folks who are supportive of abortion and who are like, look, we've had this debate, it's over. We don't want to talk about it anymore. But what's really interesting here is that there's evidence that shows that when we actually have this debate, and you know, 95% of the time we're having it, it's because the US is having it as well. When Canadians have that debate, support for abortion care actually increases even more. There are still issues around abortion access in Canada. For example, most abortion clinics are concentrated in city centers, so it's complicated for rural women to access abortion care. There's these kind of remaining issues in the Maritime provinces. And so I think that there's a chance, and maybe even more of a likelihood, that the debate that we have here isn't about laws. I actually just saw a poll that said nearly 80% of Canadians don't want legislation on this issue. So it won't be about laws, but it will be about things like access. You know, what I tell people here is if you're supportive of abortion care, you shouldn't be afraid of having this debate in Canada, because abortion rights activists and advocates are winning the debate here.
Professor Kelly Gordon of McGill University, pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to World Affairs, produced in partnership with KQED, with funding from TPG, the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, and from listeners like you. Additional support was provided by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which is working alongside others to build a culture of health for everyone in America. If you want to support the program by becoming a member or making a donation of any size, please go to worldaffairs.org/donate. And we want to hear from you. What did you think about today's episode? Are there any international stories you'd like us to cover? Please send an email or a voice memo to feedback@worldaffairs.org. Today's episode was produced by Andrew Stelzer and Ryan Housel, with scoring, sound design, and mastering by Matteo Schimpf. It was edited by our executive producer, Joanne Jennings. Additional production and engineering was provided by Rob Spate. Jim Bennett is our technical supervisor. Philip Yun is CEO of World Affairs. Our music is from Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Ray Suarez. Thanks for listening.